Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering Home Podcast. Wherever you are on your fostering or adopting journey, we're here to provide the resources and tools you need. And I think today's guest will be a great source of encouragement to you. You know, if you've listened to the podcast much at all in the past, you've heard me resonate that truth that stepping into adoption and foster care is truly, well, it's a family calling. And that before moving forward in this ministry, hey guys, it's just imperative that we pray and seek the Lord as a family. And so when we say yes as a family, when our family said yes, we did it because Jesus had entered our brokenness and he said yes to us. And I'm just so honored to share a beautiful family story with you today, the importance of family working together. I've known Jimmy and Kristen Scroggins for over 20 years, and we've been so honored, our family has, to walk alongside them and do ministry together. And though we don't live in the same state anymore, they truly are our family. We love them dearly. So Kristen, thanks so much for your time. I know that it's limited, and I appreciate you joining me today on the podcast.
Wow, this is such a fun opportunity for me because you know how much the Scroggins love the Ezels. we're big time fans, and you guys have put up with a lot from us over the years.
Oh,
so
listen,
we love you guys.
I'll have to bury you one day. That's just the truth of it. So, because you know too much, probably. But I am just super grateful for you. I don't think a lot of people know just how the Lord built such a large family for you. I just love them all. Can you just take a minute and share with us how the Lord kind of called you to large family, how he did it?
Sure. You know, it's funny because when Jimmy and I were both, when we were dating, we just really felt like we both wanted a lot of children. And what was so strange about that is, you know, Jimmy had cancer when he was in college, and the doctors told him that he probably would not be able to have children. And then I don't even know if you know this about me, Lynette, but I had had some issues with him in the doctor's office. One day I was sitting there in college and they told me that I was probably not going to be able to have children just anatomically.
This is comical now. Yeah.
Oh, we wish we could go back to those doctors and show them a picture of our eight children. But yeah, so we had this in our hearts for a long time, but we really didn't know if God was going to, you know, give us biological children or if we were going to adopt or foster. So, but we did have a heart for that from the very beginning. And then little by little, you know, one by one, you were there for seven of them.
Yep.
God just kept giving us children. And, you know, I was able to carry eight of them in my womb. And I'm just so grateful for that. We didn't have a number in mind. We just wanted to have a large family. We thought we were finished after number five, as you well know. And then God just kept giving us more. And we just can't imagine life without all of them.
Well, I always told you the Lord had to keep you going because you could get those little girls. So you had all those boys, and then you had those, and they're wonderful men of God, and then you those little girls, and I just, we just love them dearly. But so you all have moved, you've moved away from us. We've all kind of scattered across the South. Tell us where you all currently serve in ministry, because I know you really support your husband, and you're really a huge part of all that you all do there.
We love being in South Florida. That was probably one of the hardest decisions we've ever made, honestly, to leave Louisville, because we loved our church there. And I'm telling you, you know, Kevin and you are like big brother and big sister to us in ministry and just in life. So to leave you guys was horribly awful, but we just felt so called here. We really feel like this is our mission field. And so, yeah, we've been at Family Church for over 12 years now.
Oh, my
now.
Goodness.
And,
wow.
The Lord has allowed us to plant some new campuses, and we just have such a great team here that really is just praying that the Lord will allow us to make a dent here in South Florida for him.
Well, he truly is using you to do that in so many ways. And one way, I think, I know the Lord many, many times, and I see this over and over, will call church leadership to step into adoption and foster care or in some way taking leadership to care for vulnerable children. And he did that for you all, didn't he?
He did, I tell you. And for us, it really came out of nowhere. Mm. Although, you know, it's funny because Jimmy was preaching this sermon through a sermon series, excuse me, in the summer through the prophets. And one of the things that he just kept saying that kept resonating with me is like, you know, God cares about the oppressed. And part of the prophet's job was to tell the people, look, we have to care for the people who are vulnerable. And so one day Jimmy just said, hey, could we all agree that we just need to care and figure out how God wants you to use that? And I'm telling you, it hit me between the eyes.
Oh,
and
man.
So that day he came home and I said, I love your sermon so much. And I feel like you are so right about our need to care. And he was like, yeah, I'm so glad you were listening. And then I said,
but
I think God may want us to foster. And he looked like he was about to pass out. He was like, how did you get that out of that sermon that I just preached? And I said, I don't know. I'm not saying like God's speaking to me or anything. I just, when you said it, my heart just felt so burdened for that particular need in our community. And we didn't know what that was going to mean for us. And, you know, he just kind of flippantly said, let's pray about it or whatever. And do you know that I'm serious? The next week, our pediatrician called. She's actually one of our pastor's wives at our church too. And she just said, hey, I have this family with three siblings and they're all separated right now. And I need you to pray that somebody will be willing to take them in. And I said, hey, I may know someone. And I didn't tell her who it was because obviously I wouldn't do that without talking to Jimmy. And so he got home and I told him the situation and he said, absolutely not. Mm. And so I just said, okay, you know, like what you said at the beginning, it has to be a family deal.
That's right.
And I didn't burden him about it. I didn't pressure him about it. I just prayed like, hey, maybe I'm not hearing this right. And it was 2 days later, he woke up real early in the morning and he woke me up and just said, I think we need to do it.
Oh, were you expecting that?
No, because Lynette, you know how I am. I'm like fantasy land girl, like, oh, this is all going to be awesome and have all these grand ideas. And I depend on him to be the voice of reason in our life, you know? So I kind of just put it out there. He said, no, I was moving on because I really do trust his leadership. And I'm like, well, this just isn't the thing to do right now. And so it just knocked me between the eyes. And then I panicked like, oh, my
God. Oh, no. What? I didn't really mean it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then honestly, you know, because we have so many children already, they're not all in the home, but still, you know, there's a rule in Florida. I don't know what it is in other states, but we had too many for them to even consider us. So then we had to go through an agency here called Place of Hope, and they gave us they helped us walk through a way to get a waiver to be able to have more children. I'm sure most states have that, and that worked out. But then the social worker, the caseworker, would absolutely not even entertain us as an option. And so we just kept feeling these open doors and closed doors. Mm. And all this time, these precious children were just out there in the middle, you know, just kind of figuring things out. And
you know, so that's a great point, because when we started in this as well, the first, we just felt such a pull, you know, just a nudge of the Lord to do this. And it, you know, it really, I'm like you, it started with me, and then Kevin and I began to pray about it. But we had so many no's at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I couldn't understand it. I'm like, Lord, you've called us to this. And I've shared this years ago in one of our early podcasts, but I like, Lord, why all the no's? I don't understand mm-hmm. it. But it really solidified me that it kept me in prayer. And Lord, mm-hmm. you're really calling us to this. And it made me realize I don't control any of this. No one controls any of this in foster care adoption but the mm-hmm. Lord, you know. And it really made me understand that.
Well, that's such a great point. And the truth is, it kind of prepares you for the truth of, you know, we're not in control of any of it,
right.
The whole process, you
right.
know, I mean, you, so yeah, that's so true. But we, like you, we just kept getting no's, and we're like, we're trying to be obedient, you know, are we hearing things wrong? But That's an encouragement I have just to maybe people that are listening is just because you originally get a no, keep pressing forward. We know God wants us to care for those who are struggling. And we know that God wants Christians to step in and do this. And so, you know, sometimes you just have to keep pressing forward and go through obstacles and, you know, figure out what he's calling you to do. But that's what we kept doing. And then one day I was driving down the road actually to see my family in Jacksonville, and the social worker called. This was like 2 months after we honestly thought this just is not going to happen. And she said, "Hey, we've had an emergency situation. Are you willing to still take the children?"
Wow.
And I was on speakerphone with my two daughters were in the car with me.
I can only imagine.
They were silently like going nuts. They were so excited. And I said, "Yes, when do you need us to do it?" And she said, "Next week." So we were like, "Holy cow." So that took some trips to Target and a lot of prayer. But yeah, it just kind of happened.
Well, I know you homeschooled all your biological children, and you even do a podcast about parenting, and we'll get into that later. It's just so rich, so helpful. I also know you run a grace-filled tight ship. I know that about you. I mean, you do it with such beauty and grace and kindness.
Oh.
How in the world do you graft three more children into your already busy world? I mean, there can't be large margins of time here, and fostering is so much more than just keeping three additional children safe in your home. I mean, that's not even the begin, you know, that didn't even begin to describe it. So how did you do that?
Right. So, you know, we honestly, ignorance was probably bliss for us, because we kind of just thought, you know what, we're not perfect parents. We make a mess of things a lot of the times, but we do know how to provide a loving home that points people to Jesus. And so, hey, if we can just graft these three children in here, and they'll see how great it is to live in a home that's stable and, you know, but then we're in good shape, and they're just going to fall right in line. And boy, were we in for a surprise. But one of the things that we did, Lynette, that you already alluded to, is before we even brought them home, this was months before we actually did it, cause like we said, we thought it wasn't going to happen, but we sat our children down and said, "Hey, we've got something to talk to y'all about," even our ones that weren't living here at the time. And we told them about the opportunity, and we said, "We absolutely are not going to do this unless everybody buys in."
That's right.
And there's no guilt, no shame. If you don't, you know, maybe y'all can see something we can't see. If everybody at this table isn't on board, we're not doing it. Mm-hmm. Because we did have enough sense to know that Jimmy and I weren't good enough to pull this off on our own. We needed Jesus, and we also needed our family to rally around and help. And so just without blinking an eye, they all just said, "We got to do it." I mean, some things you just don't even need to pray about, right, Mom and Dad? It was honestly convicting.
Mm-hmm.
But that one of the things that we did was that. And then another, so everybody kind of knew, like, this is not a mom and dad thing. This is a Scroggins family ministry. And then also we really learned to humble ourselves and accept help from people in our church family. Mm, and
that's a great point.
We had the sweetest people that just God had not placed it on their hearts to foster, but they had financial means. And so someone wrote us a check and helped us buy furniture for these children that were coming in, and bought clothes. And we had another couple that organized some meals for us. And you know, it's humbling, and you don't want to be in that place. You want to be able to do it all.
Yeah.
And not, you want to be the helper and not the one receiving the help. But I'm telling you, there was a lady down the street who's one of our neighbors that goes to our church, and she's an art teacher. And our little foster son came home with an art project that he had to do, like, this was 3 weeks into it. And so if you've ever fostered, you know, 3 weeks in, your head, you're spinning, like,
yes,
what have we gotten ourselves into? Not because you don't love the kids, but it's so much more than you ever thought.
Right. It's overwhelming. Yeah,
it is. And I thought, I can't do one more thing. This stupid art project about Albert Einstein's going to just, how are you going to have to get a zero? But I saw her at church, and I asked for her help. And Lynette, she helped him so beautifully. And he was so proud of that project. Mm. And it was such a picture of the family of Christ just coming together. And it seems like, I mentioned it to her the other day, and she laughed and was like, "That was nothing. I loved it." It was nothing for her, but it was a huge gift to me of just, not just the art project was done, but that she took the time to just come and be the hands and feet of Jesus to our family. So those two things, making sure our family was on board and then allowing our church family to rally with us. And people will help. They just don't know what to do.
And we have to, like you said, you hit the nail on the head. We have to humble ourselves because, you know, I am just at a fault wanting to do it all myself and get it done and not bother people with things. I've always battled that. And you can't really survive this ministry that way.
No.
You, I mean, because fostering can feel so isolating. And most families quit within a year. But I truly believe with all of my heart, when the body of Christ will rally around, wrap their arms around that family, they can make it. You know,
it's
when your
so
neighbor
true.
Will come and take a little one and say, let me help you with your art project, you give him value in his little heart. You say to him, what matters to you matters to us. There's so much more at stake here than just a hot meal. It means so much. And it says, we see you, we care, and we are behind you. We are cheering you on because we believe in what you're doing.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I was convicted. I almost, you know, through the scriptures, felt the Holy Spirit saying to me, like, why is it that you feel like you have to do all this by yourself? Like, are you trying to get all the praise, all the glory, like, so everybody will say, like, look at this amazing family, like, what's your problem? And that really was a humbling point for me. Like, I need people to help because we can't do all this on their own. And I want them to see that we need each other and we need God's grace and strength. And, that's one of the things we tell our children, like, hey, if you ever doubt that God comes through for you, you remember this time that we had these precious children, because the Scroggins family just didn't good enough to do this on our own. We needed Jesus and he was there. And we're so grateful.
So you would say it was just really taught the kids a lot. The aid in the home, you know, your bio kids, that's one of the things they learned, is just that the Lord will show up and care. I'm sure there's other things. I know the heart of your kids. And so I know they were just the hands of Jesus. One of them was sending me videos. It was hilarious. And it was just so much fun to watch you guys go through this season. But can you think of some other ways? Adopting and fostering honestly changed the life of my kids. And we didn't do it. I mean, we were not rock stars. Still aren't. We still have a long way to go. But it really changed the lives of my kids. And so you already touched on one. But are there other ways you saw that your kids kind of rally and learn some things through this season of caring for the vulnerable?
Sure. And, you know, one of the things that God did in our children's life really was, especially our older ones, gave them examples like you and Kevin and, the Melbers and the Stinsons, all these families in our life that had watched them do this. Y'all weren't fostering, but still just grafting new people into your home. And that was such a gift that they had that experience to draw from. And y'all's faithfulness inspired us. And the thing that, you know, I did ask when I talked to them about this recently, and man, they just learned in a new way. I think they've learned this already being a big sibling group, but even more so just that the world does not revolve around them and that there's such bigger things to think about and to be a part of than just our own little self-centered world. And you know, another thing that it did was just, patience had to be exhibited, and just caring. You know, what happens in fostering is you just realize these children have been so wounded and so rejected, and it really doesn't matter what the story is. Like, it's just this incredible wound and rejection, even if it was unintended. Our foster children, their mom loves them dearly, but she just wasn't in a mental place that she could care for them. And even that, they don't understand that.
Right.
They just know they've been taken from mom. And so they come with all this trauma, and then it acts itself out in defiance, anger, all these things. And it really made us think, like, wow, this is so deep and so vast, and these kids just need us to love them and to care for them and to provide stability. And we've got to put some of our own selfishness aside so that we can care for these children. And we laughed because we're like, we're doing this wrong, because there's 10 of us in this house and every single one of us are giving it our all, you know, with these children all day, every day. And that's what it took for us to be able to do this well. And I do feel like God used us to kind of get them on an even keel a little better and, you know, feel loved and stable and, you know, help the little boy to man up a little bit. And he got to play sports for the first time. And, you know, the girls, you know, it was such a joy to be able to be that for them.
Well, Kristen, I know that the three children did not stay with you all forever. And that, as you said, the Lord had used you as a middle family. Can you just give us a brief update? Because we all love closure. On how the children transitioned.
Sure. Yes. Actually, just God's timing was so perfect. We had been praying, actually you and I had been praying together, that the Lord would just provide a family member of theirs, you know, a biological family, to step forward and be willing to take the children, because that was the desire so heavily. And especially the older two, it was their heart's desire to be back with biological family. They loved us, but you know, it's not the same. And they were old enough to have had built those relationships. And so right before we thought it wasn't going to happen, God just had this couple step in, that their aunt and uncle, and they have two children of their own, and they came in. And so now they're a forever family.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It's wonderful. And it's so right. And it's going so well. And they're doing such a fabulous job caring for them. And the children are thriving. It's so fun because they actually go to one of our campuses here in South Florida. And so they're part of our church. And we get to see them periodically. We help, you know, when they need help, they'll maybe come spend the night for a night or whatever. And we just get to have those relationships with them still, which I know is rare probably, but such a gift to us, because honestly, when they left, we missed them terribly.
Oh, I know you did.
It was God's plan. And that family needed time to get settled and get their minds around it. And honestly, I think the Lord used us to help get the children in a place to where they could be received a little easier. And we're grateful to have had that role in their lives.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I just remember praying with you over that. And then just the light bulb coming on, that mm-hmm. Lord, move in Uncle's heart, you know, and he did. And it's just been mm-hmm. beautiful. So beautiful. Well, I know there were times of struggles. There had to have been, because, you know, you're entering brokenness. And so I know there were struggles. But I also know that the Lord used you as a middle family, because you weren't really a licensed foster family, right?
No, we weren't, Lynette. And I know whenever I called you the first time and told you this was going on, I'm sure you were thinking, holy cow, she hasn't had one class.
No.
And we didn't. And, you know, it's funny because, again, our pride and our naivety of the situation, we thought, we don't need it. We teach parenting classes. We're good to go. And I would just say to anybody that's listening, the foster classes are really important, and we didn't have them. And because this was an emergency situation. So in Florida, they treat it as really a non-family member, but they treat you as if you were a family member. So you don't have to have the certification and the training like you would normally. The problem with that is you don't have to have the certification and training, but you need it.
It's not traditional parenting. It is not. No.
It's not. So honestly, this podcast that you are doing, I'm not joking, I listened to every single episode just trying to, and it helped me so much just to realize, like, these are not just regular kids that need a place to stay.
Right.
These are, you know, and the training helps, I'm sure, to, you know, just introduce you to trauma and, you know, best practices and resources. And we just didn't know anything. Our children were 10, 7, and 2, and had turned 3 right as soon as we got here. Actually, on my birthday, our little 3-year-old. So it was so precious. But, they were a little older, especially the older two, and they desperately, desperately wanted to be with family.
Yes.
And so we we didn't know how all of that was going to go, but we did end up being a middle family for them. And that, honestly, I didn't even know much about foster care, but wow, middle families, it's such a huge, important role. And it's honestly a way that I feel like maybe our church, the body of Christ at large, could be willing to get into this fostering process, because maybe they feel like they can't adopt, or, you know, or they just can't, you know, long-term do this, but wow, to be this middle family that comes in and kind of provides structure and stability and love in the in-between, is so important and overlooked. But we were grateful to have that role for these children.
Oh, I tell you, you were just, as the plan unfolded, it became so obvious to me that you were the gal for the job, that and all your tribe, and that God had called you all to that, because to have 10 people in your home to minister to three little struggling souls, it took, like you said, it took every one of you. And it is hard to take a placement of three. But it took all of you, you know, and all the years and all the things the Lord had been teaching you, and all those days of homeschooling and integrating God's word in your children's hearts. It took all of that. And I truly believe that. Well, Kristen, I know your story of broadening your tent, saying yes to a sibling group of three, it's really going to launch and support and encourage many of our listeners, kind of launch them out of their fear. It really is. Because once we hear stories of families who have done it, it kind of breaks down those barriers. And that's why I love to have folks like you come on and share that. But I also know that there are a lot of mamas and families out there who really want to hear more from you. Because the Lord has taught you so much through your mother, you know, through your mothering. And He's taught you so much through raising your children and being in ministry. So tell us about this new project you've launched called the Mom Village.
Oh, thanks, Lynette. Yeah, so we started this podcast through our family church network called the Mom Village, and it's actually three of us moms at our church. We're multicultural, and we just try to tackle subjects that are pertinent to moms of all seasons of life, whether you're just starting out or you are, you know, have married children. And we're trying to just be a voice of truth in love and encourage people to parent God's way. And there's just a lot of stuff out there that's awesome, but there's also a lot of stuff out there that's just honestly junk and self-centered. And so we're just trying to provide a voice from South Florida to encourage moms wherever they may be.
Well, it's great. I've been listening to it. It's 30 minutes of encouragement. You know, I'm a grandma now, and it's just new ideas even for me, and just things I can share with my adult children. They love it. My girls love it. Both of mine have three little ones at their feet. And let me tell you guys give away things on your podcast.
Oh, we do. That is something unique about us. You know, I'm a gift person. We do. We have anybody that is a new subscriber gets put into a pot, and we draw them, and we have a drawing every time. It's just a fun little way to encourage people to subscribe. So it's fun. We have a good time. We laugh a lot. It's not heavy, but we hope it's solid and rich and really an encouragement.
Yeah, I encourage everyone to go and subscribe to the Mom Village, because you can listen to it while you're getting ready in the morning or you're driving through carpool, and it just really helps you keep your thoughts in line of God's called me to this. It has value. It's a very important, you know, it's a high calling, and you really keep the main thing, and I'm grateful for that.
Thanks, Lynette.
Well, make no mistake, the Lord has placed you, our listeners, even if you're single or you're married or you're a large family like the Scroggins, He's called you to a unique place of influence. Everyone has influence. And it may not look like the Scroggins family or my family, but the Father has shaped us in all different ways so that the body of Christ is equipped to say yes. And so, Kristen, thank you for joining us today, for sharing your story, for telling us, you know, kind of being transparent and honest about how you were able to put your yes on the table. And so if He is calling anyone listening, He's calling your family to step into foster care, adoption, or if He's asking you to maybe just open your home like Kristen and Jimmy did as a middle family or a place of respite. He is lovingly waiting on you to take that next step of faith. Maybe you have to do like Kristen and pull back a little bit and just pray for the Lord's timing. But maybe he's just wanting you to make that phone call, fill out that form, or reach out to a foster family that needs some support. Because, you know, our adoption into God's family is the heart, the core of the gospel. And we've said that so many times, but don't lose sight of that. And it is, the gospel is our calling to care for vulnerable children. Young souls like Kristen just talked about, who so desperately long for a safe, forever family to call their own. It all stems from that same gospel. So why would a family of 10 step in and say yes to three more children? And Kristen, I think you'd agree, because that's what Jesus has done for you.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us today, Kristen. I love you with all my soul, and I'm grateful for you. I appreciate you sharing your story, and I know the Lord's really going to use it to encourage so many of our listeners.
Thanks, Lynette. Thanks for the opportunity. This was fun. I like being with you however I can, whenever I can, so it was a treat for me.
I really appreciate you joining me today on the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast, which is a ministry of Sin Relief. If you enjoyed today's episode, share it with a friend, and you can find more information and subscribe at sinrelief.org. Thanks for listening and making us a part of your adoption and foster care journey.